This is the How to Not Suck at Money podcast, show number 2. What's going on, everyone? It's Devon Jarvis, host of the How to Not Suck at Money podcast. Welcome back, and I'm glad to have you here with me. If you're a new listener, go ahead, check out episode 1, where I outline the initial steps you need to take on your road to financial freedom. We're going to dive a little bit more into that today, focusing on the budget. I'm going to be using Every Dollar as the budgeting app and Personal Capital for tracking all of your accounts in one place and monitoring the progress of your net worth. Both of those will be linked down below if you want to go ahead and check it out. So the first thing you're going to do when creating the budget is go ahead and recording your income. This is going to be your income for the month, and it's going to be from your W-2 wages, any side hustles you have going on, any self-employment, any Social Security, any income that you have coming in, you'll go ahead and record that for the month. Your next line item will be for giving. Multiple ways to go about doing this. Some people give based on a dollar amount of their income. Others give based on a percentage. This can be whether you're giving to a charity, any kind of other organizations. Go ahead, figure out how much ever money you give for the month and then add that in your line item. If you are in debt, I highly recommend waiting off on the giving. That will come later, but your number one priority will be getting out of debt first before you can become charitable. After you have your giving number squared away, then the next line item will be for savings and investing. So two ways to go about this. If you're in debt, like I said, go ahead and still maintain some savings, but you should be focusing on getting that emergency fund built up. So save at least 15% of your income to get that emergency fund to 6 to 12 months, at least until the pandemic is over, and then you can go back to that 3 to 6 months, making sure that you're covered there. If you're debt-free, at a minimum, you should be saving 40% of your gross income towards investing. I know this may sound like a lot, but it really isn't. And this is the sacrifice you're going to need to make in order to become successful. Why do I recommend putting savings and investing before listing your bills? Psychologically, if you save after spending, you will justify needing more things than you actually do. So you'll actually spend more money than you really need to. By putting your savings first, you're going to be prioritizing paying yourself first, making that the number one priority. Then as you go through the rest of your budget, your mind will now be programmed to cut that unnecessary spending. You know, whether it's that one extra subscription you have that you don't need, that you don't use, you're going to go ahead and cut that so that you can prioritize your savings and you can meet that goal. So simply put, don't save what is left, spend what is left after savings. So once we have the investing and savings set up, we're going to move into the non-discretionary spending category. This will cover rent, insurance, car payment, gas, clothing, childcare, and things of that nature. Add these number up and this will be, like I said, considered your non-discretionary spending. I will say that it makes sense that you do need a car, you know, to make it back and forth to work. However, if your car is a M35, a BMW, that goes more in alliance with discretionary spending. Why? You don't need, you know, a fancy car when you can get a Honda Civic or a Honda Accord for $6,000 that can get you back and forth to work. So make sure that you're not overextending yourself for this non-discretionary spending with things that you think you need, but you're trying to get the high-end versions of that. You want to keep it as the basic, reliable version of whatever you can get the job done. After non-discretionary spending comes the discretionary spending. So that's going to be things like going out to eat, going on vacation, any kind of additional spending that you would have as far as hobbies, things that you enjoy to do, that are not necessarily required, but just things that you like to do to enjoy life. Unfortunately, like I say, once you're trying to get out of debt, these are things that I will put on the back burner. I would not make these a priority to do until I'm out of debt, and then I'll go back to getting to doing these things. So when you're in debt, non-discretionary spending should be an absolute minimum. Once you're out of debt, non-discretionary spending, you can continue to do all the things you like to do as long as it does not impede on that, you know, 40% or more of your investing that you're trying to accomplish. So there you have it, folks. That's pretty much how you make your budget. So if you're using the Every Dollar app, you can go in, you'll start under the plan section. It'll start out initially with what your income is. Once you put your income, you can go ahead and make the different categories for how much you're going to spend. Like I said, discretionary, non-discretionary, and you'll put how much you plan to spend for that month. Once you actually spend that amount, you can go in to the app. You can plug in every single dollar that you spend, and it'll let you know whether you're over budget or under budget. Why I really like this app a lot, like I said in the previous episode, it makes you budget to a $0 budget. So if I make $1,000 a month, it's going to make me budget to down to the cent. That way, you know that every single dollar is working for you. And that's great, because instead of being reactive with your money, you're being proactive. You're telling every single dollar where to go. So I think this budgeting app is absolutely fantastic. When you have your budgeting app set up in Every Dollar, now what we need to do is start tracking our spending, tracking our net worth. And this is where the Personal Capital app comes in. You can go set up a account on personalcapital.com, plug in all of your credit cards, bank accounts, investment accounts, and it will track everything for you right there in one place. And this is awesome. So it'll update all of your investment accounts. Every now and then you do have to go in and you have to provide the password again for your investment account so it can update. But you have everything in one place. It's like a one-stop shop. So if the markets go down on one day, you can log in and you'll see, hey, my net worth is down $1,000 because these accounts that I have in investments, I lost some money, or vice versa, it can go up. But also based on your spending patterns and your spending habits, when you update your bank accounts to that, it'll show you based on your money coming in and your money going out, this is your actual net worth for today. And I'm telling you, this is something that I enjoy. I start my morning off every single morning. I log into Personal Capital, I plug in my password, and I update all my accounts, and then I see what my net worth is for that day. So it becomes like a little bit of a game to me. And then moving forward, you know, the more I save, the more I invest, I love seeing that number just go up and up and up and up. And it also gives you a level of accountability. So if you're spending money on non-assets, you're spending money on depreciating things, you'll see when you get that money and then you know, for example, buy a car or something and that car starts to depreciate in value, you'll see your net worth going down and down. As opposed to if you get money, you get paid and you go out and buy something like real estate, for example, and then that real estate starts to appreciate over time, you just see that value continue to climb. And that is a great, great thing. So with adding in the Personal Capital, as far as tracking your net worth every day, so you can see your progress as far as making sure, you know, everything you're doing with your budget is actually working out and it's helping your net worth grow, as well as bringing in every dollar and you're being very diligent and proactive with your budget, and putting in everything that you make versus everything that you spend, it will give you a much better handle on your finances. Now, don't think by any means you're going to go in, you're going to log in to every dollar, you're going to make the perfect budget from the first time that you do it. realistically, it takes a couple of months, because this may be for some of you the first time that you're actually tracking your spending. So it may take you a couple of months to actually get things down, you know, pretty solid. A lot of people don't really pay attention to how much money they're spending on restaurants or how much money they spend at the grocery and, you know, things like that, that you may not necessarily be very diligent in tracking. So if you put, hey, I'm going to spend $500 on groceries this month, and you go to the grocery store, you spend $100, you plug that into every dollar, it'll say, I have $400 remaining. Every time you go to the grocery store, you keep updating that. But now you're being aware of, hey, it's halfway through the month and I already spend, you know, $400 of my $500 that I have budgeted for this month. Maybe I need to scale back a little bit, or maybe I need to not buy steak and lobster every night for dinner. Or you could say, you know what, I'm really buying the bare bones of stuff here for my grocery spending. Maybe that $500 budget was not very realistic. I need to bump it up to, you know, $600. So it'll take you a few months, no big deal getting it wrong first couple months. And after you do it, you'll pretty much narrow in your spending in most of the categories. For heating and electricity, this will vary by year. So I understand, you know, you won't get the exact same amount. But after you start to track those spending month after month, you'll get an idea of what I typically spend in the spring, what I typically spend in the summer, what I typically spend in the winter, and then you can make your budget accordingly. The other thing with the budget I didn't mention is you want to make sure that your budget is kind of all-encompassing. So you don't want to just make it savings and bills, right? So if you haven't planned on maintenance for your car, then guess what? That's something that's going to come up. So I want to make sure that I plan, hey, my tires are rated for every 30,000 miles. How much are my tires? My tires cost $400. Okay, 30,000 miles. I drive an average of 10,000 miles per month. I know that in 4 months, I'm going to need some new tires. I'm going to put aside X amount of dollars to make sure that I'm able to cover that. Same goes with your oil changes. I'm going to look at how often do I need to replace an engine or an alternator, whatever the case may be. But car maintenance is part of a budget. You need to add that in there, because guess what? You're going to need new tires. You're going to need new brakes. You're going to need new shocks and struts. So add that stuff into your budget. Don't just, you know, leave it out and then say, oh my God, something happened to my car. What am I going to do? Well, if you add that in your budget, then you can account for it. And then when these things come up, you'll be ready for it. The better you get at adding realistic things into your budget, as far as the things that you know will come up, the things that you will have to pay for over time, the less you have to dip into your emergency fund. So for example, I have an emergency fund, you know, that covers a few months of my expenses. But quite honestly, I never actually go into it, because I've gotten so good at budgeting that every category of anything in my life is already covered. So I have multiple different bank accounts for all those things. So when anything comes up, I can say, oh, well, I already have money for that. I'll just take that from over here, or I have money for that. I'll take it from over there. So become an expert at your budget and your spending and your the things that you go through in life. And the better you become at that, and you budget it, and you save for it every single month, you are drastically reducing the chances that you would actually need to rely on your emergency fund. And here's another thing. Once you actually have those different budget items set aside, because you're good at it now, and then you also have your emergency fund set aside, you'll never need to touch your emergency fund again. And then once your emergency fund starts to grow, then now you can take that and you can throw it into investments and start building your emergency fund over again. So that's part of the psychology of money. Your tires going out is not an emergency. tires wear out, budget for it. All right. And these are the things that you need to think about as far as when you're making your budget. With that said, thank you so much for tuning in. Glad to have you here spending some time with me today. If you like this content, go ahead and subscribe and leave a comment below. And I'll see you in the next episode.